Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to them that are bound. Verse 1 is about why I'm here, why God put a pastor in your life. He knew that you needed someone that could bind up the broken heart. He knew you needed someone that could remind you that there's liberty and there's freedom. And he needed someone to tell you you can get out of the prison that you're in. And I'm not talking about the prisons that everybody can see. I'm not talking about the brokenness that everybody can see, because some of us have become masters of disguise. And it's okay. It's a part of life. I think it shows strength to be able to put your stuff on the shelf. But God gives you a preacher to look on the shelf sometimes, that everything you hide from everyone else, and even sometimes from yourself. And that preacher can say, I see that brokenness, but God's going to help you. God's going to help you. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Verse 3. This is where you come in. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. The word appoint means to comfort, to give assurance, to let you know things are going to get better, to soothe, to ease, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Too many of you are trying to be a tree of righteousness without making a trade. Too many people try to be holy and a tree of righteousness without trading with God. I want to preach this morning, it's time to trade with God. It's time to trade with God. Amen. And Brother Boster, would you pray? Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Gloria a Dios. Amen. Gloria a Dios. I love our church. I love our church. The Rock Church. It just feels like home. I want to just, before I go into my sermon, thank this church. Brother Michael and Brother Haley both have to work this morning. They're new. They usually sit right over here. I think they'll be here tonight. It's their goal. But in Bible study, I asked them, these are young men. Haley lives with a sister, single, 19 years old. I said, what attracted you to the church? Why did you want to come back? I asked the same thing to Michael. What made you want to come back to the church? He said, you know what? Those people just love me. I really feel like those people love me. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of things in the world you can fake. But you can't fake love. And I appreciate that. You genuinely love people. Give yourselves a hand. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. You're givers. And that shows. Now, all of our life, we trade. Everybody's a trader. Not a traitor, but a trader. Trader. Now, you start at a young age. Now, my kids have talked about it, and it brought back memories. When you go to school, there are certain items you could bring that had value. When I was in school, a nutty buddy had value. Come on, Holy Ghost. If I had nutty buddies, I could trade a guy his whole lunch. I could get that rectangle pizza with a side of ranch dressing and a cookie and his chocolate milk for one nutty buddy. Now, maybe you wasn't as good as trading as I was. Chapman, the name Chapman means traveling salesman. They were in the Bible. Look in the book of Kings. They went to Solomon's court. The Chapmans did. They came out of what we know as England today, but they traded land. They would trade land. But they were tradesmen. But we all trade. How many remember trading in school? You ever trade? Maybe you were the one that lost your whole lunch for a nutty buddy. Maybe you got the raw end of the deal. You thought it was a nutty buddy, but it was actually Food Lion brand. You could tell the difference when you got them open because they wasn't quite the right shape. And they would skimp on the peanut butter. It would be that dry peanut butter stuff. The real nutty buddy, it's creamy. Sam's choice. It's not the choice. But we trade. We trade. And I remember trading as a kid. I remember trading. And I remember we would graduate in our trading. I remember then I would start packing lollipops and snacks. But if you had a lot of blow pops, you could make some trades. A guy would trade his Nikes for a pack of blow pops. I'll tell you what. You just had to ask the right questions. Catch them at the right time. Right before a big math test, blow pop go a long way. Teacher lets you chew gum in that class, you know. If you knew which class is the target, you got to trade. Then we'd graduate. How many did baseball cards or sports cards? Anybody else did that? Baseball cards. I dabbled in. I didn't care about it. I just wanted to trade. I found out some baseball cards were worth about a whole pack of Nutty Buddies. So we're trading. We're trading. We're trading. As we get older, trades graduate. We start trading money for a car. We start trading money for rent to have a house or to buy a house. So you may say, I'm not a trader for money. We all trade. We trade time for money. We give some company 8 hours of our time so we want, at the end of the week, we want our end of the deal. It's a trade. It's a trade-off. Well, if you own a company, you're trading your skills and your labor for their money. It's a trade. We're making trades. Everywhere we go, we're making trade-offs. And everything is a trade-off. Everything. If you give up one thing, something else. There's never a time that you trade something that something doesn't come back or you lose something. It's a trade-off. I've made a lot of trades in my life. Some are good, some are bad. I don't know if I have any bad. I don't think I have anything I feel bad about trading or selling. I always feel like it's not always about money. How many trade something that's not just about the money value? That there's relationship value that you've traded off. Especially with your kids, people you love. It ain't about the money. But if I give them something, I do expect something in return. Now, I know that's against the grain of this generation because we live in an entitled generation. Now, let me pause here and say this. We pick on this generation so much. I read an article the other day, and it said, this generation takes but does not give, disrespects all its elders, is distracted, does not want to, cannot hold a conversation, cannot speak to you and look you in the eye. And I'm reading it. Then it said, written by, was it Socrates? Aristotle. What was his name? Aristotle, 400 BCE. 400 years before Christ. So there's nothing new under the sun. People have always been entitled. You just have to choose not to be that person. Everything's a trade. I just want you to give to me and love on me and expect nothing from me. That's how people act. I just want you to, how many have dealt with someone like that? A relationship where they want you to give, but they don't want to give nothing back. That's impossible. That's called cheating. That's called stealing. Because I've made a trade with you, but you didn't give nothing back. And there's unspoken trades that we make with people. If I say I love you, I expect it in return. If I have to tell you to tell me, then it's lost its value. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If I got to tell someone, I wish you'd just tell me you're sorry. Well, I'm sorry. That which would have had value in the trade, now no, they're going to have to do more than that. You've been there, Diana? That ain't enough. I'm just saying. It's going to take a little bit more. You're going to have to put a little bit more on the table. The scale's unbalanced right now. An unequal scale is an abomination to God. That's what the Bible says. Now, that's how they would measure trades. If I put my stuff on this side and it weighed it down, and you come up here and put yourself on this side and it doesn't level out, he said, it angers God. He hates that. So trading, it's got to balance out. Are y'all with me? I'm going to get somewhere here because it's time to trade with God. And too many people want to do a trade, but they don't want to do their end of the deal. Huh? They want God to answer all their prayers. They want God to take care of all their anxiety. They come name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it. Come on. Sorry, Michaela, translate that. They want to demand everything. God, answer my prayer. God, give me this. And God is a faithful God. But there is a scale that God has to use. It's His word. He will not go against His word. He trade with God, and His word is forever settled in heaven. And you cannot trade with God in an unbalanced way. Come on. If you're going to trade with God, you got to give your part too. Not this stuff, well, I believe and I love God and He knows I love Him. You know, how's that? I'm just telling you, I've been married going on 24 years and I ain't never got away with, well, she just knows I love her. Well, she just ought to know. I had a guy come into office, they were having marriage problems, him and his wife, and he's like, you got a place to sleep, don't you? I'm like, well, I'm backing up, buddy. It's about to get some fireworks up in here. Because for her, if that's all he was giving in the trade, it's unbalanced. She wasn't getting married just so she'd have a place to sleep. She could have done that by herself. She wasn't getting married just so she could have food on the table. She could have done that by herself. Don't put that on the scales. That's not what we're trading in this room. I'm talking about marriage. Marriage is about trading. So I can't just say, well, you know, she knows I love her. She got food to eat. Bought her a nice car. She's a smart woman. She could have done that by herself. So no, that's not fair. I can't say that. She needs more on the scale than that. She needs my heart. She needs my concern. She needs my commitment. She needs my patience. She needs my ears. Men, hear me. God gave us two ears and one mouth. We're supposed to listen more than we talk. Well, you say, he gave the women the same thing. Do not put that on the scale. You will lose. They need to talk sometimes. And you know what? We need to talk. Usually when men need to talk, it's built up for years, and we just need to sit down and talk and get off our chest. And men, we got to remember, usually, Brother Andy, when we need to talk, we don't want an answer. We just want them to listen. We just want you to listen. But it's usually only once in a while. Women need it every day. That's the trade-off. I didn't know I was going to get in marriage today, but we're just going to hit it. And I don't know why it is, Brother Caleb, after we've been busy all day and it's 11 o'clock at night, that she turns on. Wants to philosophically talk about everything. Are you listening to me? Yeah. No, he's right. I'm being silly, but y'all understanding that relationships is about trading, and that the reason why relationships hit hard times is because it gets unbalanced on the trading? Huh? And as a pastor, when I'm sitting down with the couple, I'm just trying to find out, where is the imbalance at? Because that's why we're here. It ain't about the money. That's just symptoms. It ain't about what she said or they said. There's some unbalance in here. One of them or both of them feel like they're giving more than the other. And I know you can never outgive God. But God does expect something on your end of the deal. It's time to trade with God. Somebody say amen. Let's get into it. There's three areas in this passage of Isaiah 61 in verse 3 that he wants to trade with you on. I want to talk about these three things this morning. The first one is beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. As I studied this out, I realized, and I was telling Brother Smith this, that all of these trades is something from your internal trading for something that's going to show external. The ashes, ain't none of y'all walked in with ashes on you today. I don't see it. In the Old Testament, they would cover themselves in ashes. It's a typology or an example of what's happening on the inside. Ashes represent death. It came out of the pit of fire. And God knows there are things in your life that's died or dying. And it's ashes. He said, I want to trade you those ashes for beauty. And beauty is external. Ashes are internal. God wants to trade you for what's on the inside. For something he's going to put on the outside. I'm going to tell you this. I've come to this conclusion that if it doesn't show on the outside, then there was an unequal trade of what's on the inside. If there's not an evidence of the trade on the outside, then somebody's not trading what they're dealing with on the inside. Come on. Come on. God knows my heart. I don't see it. Well, I love the Lord. I don't see it. Now, I know what people say. Well, don't judge, Pastor. That is not scriptural. Judge not, lest you be judged by the same measure. We judge everything by the outside. Everything. Well, you shouldn't. Well, that's fine. If you want to live that life that way, next time you go to buy bananas, just close your eyes and just pick up any of them. And I hope I'm the banana merchant, that's how you shop. Because I'm selling you all the black ones. Because you're not, I know it looks rotten on the outside. I know it's got worms coming out of it, but you shouldn't judge that banana. I know that apple's all bruised and got a hole in it. You know what's worse than finding a worm in your apple? Finding half of one. When we go to the store, we judge things by how it looks, and by how it sounds, and by how it smells. Huh? How many's picked up pieces of meat and like, oh, I have. That hamburger meat's been there for a couple days in the fridge. I'm like, kind of getting a little dark. Don't judge it. Don't judge it just because it's green. You shouldn't judge it. God, don't you judge it. They can come as they are and stay as they are. That's not God. That's not godly. You can come as you are, but there's going to come a day you're going to have to make a trade with God. I said you're going to have to make a trade with God, and it's going to change. It's going to change. Old things shall pass away, and behold, all things become new. So this trade is about holiness. Holiness is the inside. Holiness is trading your ashes for God's peace. Now, if you stay just on the inside, then you're not doing your part of the trade. Because holy, 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 the whole earth is filled with His glory. Glory is the evidence of what's on the inside. Glory is the beauty of the ashes being traded. Once everything was dead in me. Once my heart was cold and dark. But God offered me a trade. He said, I'll trade you beauty for your ashes. Y'all gonna get what I'm pitching here? I don't know why I can't get over this depression while you're still dressing like a skank. I don't know why I can't get over this thing while you're still trying to attract the wrong type of people. Still trying to attract the wrong type of man. It's because God's trying to trade you your depression, but you're still holding on to your carnality. God's trying to trade you your anxiety, but you still want to hold on to your identity. Talking about your worldly identity. He says, I want to give you beauty. I want to give you something beautiful on the outside. But for that price, I said, I'm not just going to ask you to dress different. I'm not just going to ask you to walk different. I'm not just going to ask you to talk different. I'm going to take those ashes. When you begin to do that, I'm going to take those ashes. I'm going to take that depression. I'm going to take that anxiety. Because you're giving me the beauty of holiness, I'm going to give you peace in your heart. I'm going to give you rest in your mind. I don't just dress this way because it's my religion. I dress this way because it's a sign that I made a trade one day. I traded depression. I traded ashes. I traded death for the beauty of holiness. Why do you talk that way? Why do you not listen to this? That's a sign of a trade. That's my end of the deal. Well, Pastor, you didn't have the ashes I had. No, maybe not. We all have our own ashes. Caitlin, we all have them, you know. Nobody can truly walk in anyone else's shoes. Because, Brother Andy, I understand. I've never said that to you. And I never will. Because I can never truly understand what a person is going through. But I do know God still wants to trade them. Come on. I will never tell you. I understand completely what you're. I know. I'm making relate. I'm making say this is my story, but I can tell you this: God's word is a sure and settled balance, and a settled scale, and it's no matter how heavy. I said, no matter how heavy you got to put something on your side, God will never owe you anything. He will always give more to you than you had to give up. He'll always, oh, hallelujah. I'm talking to somebody that has a lot of heaviness and a lot of ashes. Don't worry, just bring them to God and watch what He puts in place of that. Come on. You can never outgive God. Woo-hoo. Matter of fact, if you've got a lot of ashes, you ought to rejoice, because that means God's got to balance this thing out. Because an unjust scale is an abomination to God. So if I got a lot to bring Him and He hates a scale that's unbalanced, that only means He's going to give a lot back into me. Oh, He's a good God. He's a good God. Oh, He's a good God. I know for some of us that grew up in church, living externally to God is a lot easier than some that never were taught about modesty or taught about separation. And too many are taught these things in churches and not in a way that's understood, that this is a part of my trade with God. This ain't because of my church. This is because of my trade with God. You don't know what God took out of my life. You don't know the ashes that I walked into church with. And when you all you see is the glory. You don't know the story. I don't want you just to dress because I tell you to do it. I want you to understand that when you dress right, you're making a trade with God. When you talk right, you're making a trade with God. When you choose to do good, you're making a trade. It's every day, Brother Penlin. When I'm riding down the road, and I'm telling you, that tries my spirit. People do stupid things, and I want to, and I choose to not lash out. It's not just me trying to be good. It's me making a trade with God. Because those things are ashes. But if I give Him the ashes, He said, I will give you beauty. I don't care how ugly your day is or how bad your week is. If you'll just learn to trade the ashes, beauty will come. Because God will not have an unbalanced scale. And your ashes, many times, are reactions to situations that you're going through and opportunities to do wrong. And you can't change yesterday, but I got opportunities coming at me this week. I don't know where, I don't know when, but when those moments come and I have an opportunity to do wrong or say wrong or respond wrong, He said, trade with me. Trade with me. I know you want to yell at them. I know you want to, and they deserve it, but I'm asking you, don't carry those ashes. Give them to me. And you take that moment where you want to respond and react, and you live it on the scale, and God says, okay, now here I come. And God balances out your life again. Some of you, you have felt this week your life so out of balance. And it's not because of God, because God is sitting over here with the miracle. God is sitting over here with the blessing. God is sitting over here, but He has to live and go by His word. And right now, it's out of balance because He's done more for you than you are doing for Him. And He's saying, if you'll just give me some ashes, I'll trade you. Somebody say amen. Are y'all catching what I'm pitching this morning? Is this making sense? This is a message that's not just going to work today. This is going to work every day. It's going to work on Tuesday when all of a sudden that coworker that's been poking you and prodding you and poking you and prodding you and you want to react. And God says, give me the ashes that are inside of you. Internally, your emotions, lay them on the altar and I will give you beauty. That's why He said, the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. Some of you trying to be so independent, and you have to be independent because you refuse to trade with God. God is sitting over here with all of heaven and 10,000 angels to back you up. Come on. He's got blessings and jobs and careers and checks in the mail that are on hold because you want to do it your way. And he said, but if you'll just trade with me. Brother Nazuko, you've been in business for yourself a long time, and I know that there's been many trades. You came on the bad end of the deal. That's just the way life goes. All of you probably had trades in life that you feel like, oh, man. I haven't had any in a long time, but I've sure had them. You know what I'm talking about? You ever paid for a meal and you're like, oh, that wasn't worth it. That's why they make us pay first at that restaurant. You ever thought that's why fast food makes you pay before you eat? Because you ever ate it first, you probably wouldn't want to pay. Think about that. Oh, God wants you to give. And when you give, you will never come on the short end of the scale. You will never outgive God. Now, man, I'm just teaching today. I feel the Holy Ghost. I said this the other week, that God's monetary unit, we have a monetary unit. We have the dollar. That's their value, dollar. Gold was a gold standard for a long time. Should be a gold standard now. But the monetary value of humans is money. The cash, or the value of an item. I've traded cars for cars for boats, motorcycles, trade. God doesn't care about money. Gold is dirt to him. There's one thing that God cannot create that only man can create. Only you can create. And that's what God's interested in. It's something he cannot mine. He cannot speak it into existence. And you're like, what is that? Because his word created a scale. And that one thing is will. God cannot create will in you. He cannot force you to do something. It is your choices that God values. It's your daily choices that God values. That's currency to him. It's when you choose to do good. And then when you make yourself valuable to God, God's going to begin to protect you. Because the Bible says you become a peculiar people. But the peculiar, peculiaris, means private property, is the one thing God cannot do. You have to do it. You have to give God your heart. You have to give God your choices. You have to give God your will. Well, this is what I want. That's fine. There's one thing God cannot force you is what you want. But when you choose to please him, that's valuable to God. When you choose to wake up on a Sunday morning when you'd rather stay in the bed, can I get a witness? It was hard this morning. For the last 4 days, I have not been to bed before 2 o'clock in the morning. And it's starting to wear out me, getting its toll on me. And I was tired this morning. My wife said, you need to get up. We got to go. I said, coffee. She said, coffee. That's all I had to say. It was a language. She needed kisses and I needed coffee. Hallelujah. That's a good trade right there. But you got up this morning. You made a choice. That was currency to God. Woo! See, you didn't have to come to church, But by coming to church this morning, you reach down into the one place that God can't reach to, and that is into your free will, and you laid something on the scale. And I'm telling you, God will not let that scale stay unbalanced. Because you laid that on the scale, He says, I'm going to give you something this morning because I'm going to balance out that scale. You brought me ashes. You brought me your tiredness. You brought me your weakness. You brought me your, I'm going to give you beauty. Let's clap our hands to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. 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 I need to hurry up here. He said, oil of joy for mourning. What is mourning? Mourning is deep-rooted depression. How many know we all go through that? How many know that's normal? How many know that does not mean that's your identity? Don't let the world label you because you're going through a tough season in life. And then they want to give you a pill to mask it when really you need to grieve. And the only way to give God your mourning is to learn how to grieve properly. Learn where to put your tears. Learn where to put your problems. Now I know, please, I'm not a doctor. I realize there's chemical imbalances people deal with. Please. Go to a doctor. Some of y'all need some vitamins. I know. I understand. I've got good doctor friends, and there's people. And then I had a brother who had seizures, and he was on so many different types of medication to balance out the chemicals of his brain. And even though when they did the surgery, it took years to get his body settled down. But we trust the process. If God tells you to go cold turkey off something, then do it. But sometimes I realize I'm not picking, and I'm not trying to be a doctor up here. I realize there are things that we have to go through, but we got to trust God through the process. I'm trying to hurry, but I just feel like I got to dig here for a minute. I like what Brother Urshan said. He said, preaching is like, I know where I'm going, but it's across the stream, and I'm just going to jump on this stone for a while and this stone for a while, but eventually I'm going to get where I'm going. Well, I got a stone I got to jump on for a minute. This deep-rooted depression, this deep-rooted anxiety, these voices in your head, and the devil tries to say, you're crazy because you got these voices. We all got them. Amen. That's that minefield that God can't get. That's called your will. That back there, that's the battle of your mind. That's why the scripture says you got to get a renewing of the mind. By doing what? By not being conformed to this world, by doing external changes. You want internal changes, you've got to give God external changes. By not conforming to this world, by being, you will get a transformation on the inside. I could preach on holiness all day today. Because this is what is that? This is why we have standards of living. It's not so we can control and manipulate. This is why women dress like ladies and men dress like gentlemen. Because not every woman can be a lady. And not every man can be a gentleman. And how do we know they're a lady? And how we know them? By their external. How they look, how they dress, how they act, how they smell. Why are you doing it? Because I'm trading. Why do you dress that way? You think I like wearing a tie? What man in his right mind would tie his own noose? Come on. Come on. It's a level of honor in our society. And I'm just trading. Just trading. If I go to this visit someone, visit you in the hospital, very rare, Brother Jamie, would I co-visit you without first going and taking a shower and putting on some nicer clothes, even though I was working, because I wanted to represent, not me. I was trading. If you don't think for one moment people don't treat you differently, then you're lying to yourself. When my wife gets out of the car in her long dress and she's walking in, people open doors for her that wouldn't open door for anyone else. I wish they'd treat me that way. Then why don't you trade with God? How long have I been preaching? Somebody help me out here. I forgot to start a timer. Are we okay? Oil of joy for mourning. Oil of joy. It didn't say joy for mourning. It said oil of joy. Because he wanted you to know, I'm not just going to give you joy in your heart. I'm going to take the mourning out, but what I'm going to give you is going to be on the outside. Everybody's going to see it. The other day, I was cooking. I had butter on my hands and grease on my hands. My wife bought this new jar of pickles. She's like, give them to me. I couldn't open them. And I washed my hands and dried my hands, but it's hard to get oil off. God says, what I'm going to give to you, the joy I'm going to give to you, that coworker can't get it off of you no more. Hey, that joy I'm going to give to you, that shyster, that cheater, that person that cuts you off in traffic, it ain't going to get it off of you. Because if when you give me your mourning, when you give me your anxiety, when you trade it, I'm going to give you something on the outside. I like trading with God. I said, I like trading with God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Come play soft, Sister Chapman. I'm going to hurry here. The last one says, I want to give me a garment of praise for your spirit of heaviness. I'm going to give you a garment of praise for your spirit of heaviness. When I see people who, there's time, place for all things. But when I see people when it's time to praise, hey, brother Andy, you walked in today. You just need a touch of God. That's my brother's here. You know what Brother Andy did? And Pentecost is new to him. He didn't come in. That might be what was on the inside, but he didn't want that. He made a trade. He was wanting the garment of praise. You can't have the heaviness off of you if you're not willing to have the garment of praise on the outside. When Brother Brian says, I'm going to have a good day no matter what, that's not just a saying. That's a garment of external praise. He may have heaviness, but what he was really saying was, I'm making a trade. I come to the trading house today. I come to the stockbroker's floor today because I got heaviness. And I know if I begin to praise him, that God's going to take my heaviness and I'm going to walk out a little bit lighter. I'm going to walk out a little bit stronger. I'm going to walk out a little bit better than when I came in the house of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you make a trade with God, don't pick it back up. Don't make a trade at church and not go home and clean out your drawers. Don't make a trade in the altar and not go change your music playlist. Some of you wonder why hell breaks out on Tuesday, because on Monday you picked up all those things that you wanted to trade with God, or you were exposed to things you needed to trade with God. Because I found out most of your trading don't happen at church. Church is just a place you learn how to do it. Most of your trading happens when you're all by yourself, when all hell is breaking out, and that spirit of heaviness comes on you. And the Lord said, if you'll just trade me, put on a garment of praise. I got to reach into my playlist and find a good praise song. Hallelujah, anyhow. And I begin to worship him. And I begin to put praise on my end of the scale. God said, you put praise on this end of the scale. And on that end of the scale, I'm going to take that spirit of heaviness. And I'm going to balance it out. And I'll take this. And I'll give you joy. I'm reminded, and I'm closing with this. How many feel the presence of God here this morning? How many thank God for preaching? You know, that's the method that God chose to just find a little hillbilly preacher to break it down in my mind so I could break it down for you. So just understand, I'm just trading. I'm having a bad day. What you gonna do about it? I'm gonna go trade with God. And it may take a time to get the scales leveled out. He's done so much for me. I feel sometimes, Brother Logan, I can't give him enough. I can't pray. How could I praise you enough? How could I love? I've just got to give the best I can. I'm reminded of the little girl came on the bus and she had no money, and the church was doing a missions offering. They were giving. I shared this the other week. And everybody was coming and giving cars and money and different things on the altar. And all of a sudden, this little girl stood up. Two shoes that didn't even match. Sock on one foot, no sock on the other. Some wondered, what is she going to give? And she walked up and she put something on the scales much heavier than anything money could buy. She laid herself on the altar. All I got is me. And that's the one thing God cannot get. That's the one thing God cannot mine. Is you. I want to give it to him. Brother McFarland grew up in church. I talked to him last year for a little bit. He's retired now, lives in Indiana. For his retirement, you know what he did, Brother Penland? He started another church. Brother McFarland grew up in Indiana campgrounds. Went to church. And now, a lot of us that grow up in church, unfortunately, so many times, we're never really taught. We're just assumed to understand. I want to help you. I don't want our kids that grow up in church not to be taught. So many of us just, we didn't come from the world, and so they just assume we understand. We don't always understand. We're doing things because we know, but we just don't always. That's why I preach the way I preach. I want you to not just hear it, I want you to understand it. But he was one of those, he'd been taught but didn't really understand. At 17 years old, he left the church, got a girlfriend, got married, moved to Texas from Indiana, started a construction business, very successful. One day he fell off a roof and hurt his back real bad, and the doctor gave him some pills, and he got hooked. And when he ran out of pills and couldn't get the pills and no pharmacy would do it, he began to resort to cocaine and illegal drugs. It's a common thing. It's happened. And he hid it so well. But his life began to spiral. I'm trying to get a long story short, but it was a mess. And sometimes in those lucid moments when he wasn't high or drinking to try to cover the pain, he wasn't a bad guy. Just hurt. He wanted to provide. Brother Terry McFarland said he'd tell his wife stories about old youth camps. She didn't know anything about Pentecost. He'd tell her about people worshiping. She thought, man, that's crazy. I'll never go to church like that. Women dressed that way? Oh, my God. Why? He didn't know to tell her it was a trade. He just said, oh, they're just weird. They're just different. Finally, their business began to fail, and he sold everything and moved to Florida and began to build the business up again. It became very successful in Florida. Had his dream home, had five homes, owned multiple machinery. If you know anything about construction machinery, that is no joke. Excavators and bulldozers. But he was so far in depression. He was so far in a deep, dark place of ashes that he got into his truck one day. His F-150 drove out into the Everglades. Nobody could find him. Took all the pills he could take. Took out his 9mm and put it to his left temple. Without a second thought, pulled the trigger. 4 hours later, he wakes up in his truck. No blood. His phone's buzzing like crazy. Confused. He could hear the wind blowing because his passenger side window was blown out. But there was nothing. Couldn't find the gun. It had fallen up under the seat somehow. His wife calls in that moment. He answers the phone. She says, where are you at? And he tells her. and he passes out. And she comes out with the friend. They load him up in the car. And they said, what are you going to do? She says, could you please watch my kids? I had three kids. Would you please watch the kids? Yeah. Could you watch them for a week, please? She says, yeah. She loaded him up. They put him inside their RV. They had a nice, nice travel camper. And she began to drive. And she drove from South Florida. She looked up on the map, that youth camp. She didn't know where it was at, never been there, but that's the only good things he ever talked about. And in her mind, she said, I just can't do that. I got to find something better. Drove up, and just so happened they were having family camp. She pulls up. He ain't woke up the whole trip. He's back here knocked out. She gets out of the camper, and she walks into the big temple. I've been there. I preached there. Beautiful. Several thousand people in that big, and they're having church. And she walked in, and she felt something she never felt before. In the camper, he wakes up, confused. He hears music, and he thought, God, did I die? He looks out the camper window and realizes what his wife did, and he gets ticked off. He's mad. And he knows he hid another gun, a 38, inside that camper she didn't know about. But what he didn't know about, in her haste to pack it, she had shoved towels and blankets into every hole, and in one that had the gun, she had shoved the towels in there and then put an iron right in there and shut it. And when he opened it and jerked it open, those towels blew out and that iron smacked him in the head and knocked him out cold. God loves you so much, he's trying to save you and you don't even see it. He wakes up, blood flowing down his face. What do they call them, wife beaters? he's got his undershirt on, shorts on. He took the towel in his head. He's mad. He walks right in the back of the temple, the tabernacle. He walks right back to the tabernacle, blood coming through his fingers. They're singing songs. He's got flip-flop shorts and a tank top on. He walks in, and they're singing a song he remembered from a kid. And a voice said, I'm ready to trade. Are you? He didn't make it halfway down the aisle before he fell on his face. And they said he laid there for 3 days praying. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he began to pray and pray. Now he left. I'm going to get to this. I told him I wanted him to come down and share his testimony. But he said he left. They drove back to Florida after that camp meeting. He said, I walked into my house and it was like I walked to a stranger's house. He said the friend was going to bring the kids. Don't bring them yet. I got to get rid of stuff. He's cleaning out the refrigerator like they hadn't seen it. He cleaned out his bedroom and everything. He was just so embarrassed about the lifestyle he lived. But he's like, it was like I didn't even recognize the person that lived there. Because God had traded some ashes. And he wanted to be beautiful again. Now, it wasn't over yet, Shirley. Sister, he still had some battles. Matter of fact, he was struggling with some internal things. That stuff on the inside. Those mourning, that voices. And some of you are struggling with it this morning. That's why God had me to preach this. And he's throwing those voices. And you're wondering, I've been praying. I've got the Holy Ghost. Why haven't this victory had? Because you're still trading things. And God is still asking things of you. And if you'll just keep trading, if you'll just keep coming to church, there's going to come a day that the scales are going to go like this. And God says, okay, now I'm taking those voices. I'm taking that depression. I'm taking that out. Because those things were not meant to stay. They were meant to be traded. They were meant to be given to me. Why don't we stand? He went out to work one day on a bulldozer. He had a big D11, I think is what he called it. I'm not sure what that is, but he's on his big D11, I think they said. He was cleaning off some property. He'd been dealing, and even his preacher said, you need to be on pills, buddy. You're messed up. But in his heart, he came to a place, you know, he said, Brother Chapman, I was either going to be medicated or I was going to be dedicated. He said, I was tired of clouding up my mind. I wanted to be free. And I just had faith to believe God could do it. You can ride second class or you can ride first class. I've rode both. I prefer first class. He's on the bulldozer, Bill Lell. And as he's bulldozing his property out in Florida, building a house for a millionaire from Ireland. And his family was McFarland's. They had come from Ireland years and years ago. He'd never been there. He's out there on the bulldozer, Sister Tammy. And about that time, this rattlesnake come out. Massive. He said, thick as my arm. And it curled up right in front of his bulldozer. He said, I never used my bulldozer to kill him because I was afraid if I tried to run over him and I didn't kill him, they'd crawl up in the machine. No, no, no. He said, I kept me a machete, sharp. So and I got off that bulldozer and I got out there and that thing turned toward me. He said, it was like this far off the ground. He said, I raised up and God said, stop. A voice said, stop. That snake is the voices you've been battling with. That snake is the last thing of your depression. And he went to hit it, and God says, no. You've given me what I want. Let me have the snake. And so he put the machete down. He said, okay, God, now what? And just as soon as he said that, he heard a screech. And a bald eagle, don't happen in Florida, a bald eagle went right past the top of his head and grabbed a hold of that snake. He said, in the talons of that eagle, that thing looks so weak. He said, whoa. He said, now, okay, God, now what? And immediately that eagle took off flying, and right when it took its first flap and it came off the ground, it took its beak and bit the head off the snake and spit it out, and it flew away. He said, I felt a weight lift off of me. He said, from that day on, the voices were gone. The anxiety was gone. You know why he was delivered? Because he put something on the scale. He put something on the scale. He made a trade with God. That's not the end of the story. I got to tell you the rest of the story. Then I opened up for us to pray. He said, about that time I heard a truck pull in. I'm out there, swinging a machete. Looked like a crazy man. And it ended up being the owner from the property from Ireland. He walks up and says, my God, what are you doing? I can't do Irish brogue, but he, in his Irish accent, he said, what is going on? He told him about the Holy Ghost. He said, I just had to tell him everything. I had told him about my alcoholism. I had told him about my drug addiction. I told him about God setting me free. And that old Irish man sat down on the dirt and began to weep. He said, because he told him about baptism. He said, you're going to baptize me right now. I want what you got. He said, I'm not a preacher. He called his pastor and said, what do I do? He said, well, there's water in the baptistry. Go baptize him. So he took that Irishman and baptized him in Jesus' name. And when the Irishman came out of the water, he's speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. 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 It didn't stop there because that man said, stop. You're not going to finish my house right now. I don't want you. He said, man, you've paid me. He said, no, you'll build it later. You're going with me to Ireland. And you're going to tell my family what you told me. So he calls his pastor. He said, he wants me to go to Ireland and testify to his... He said, go. He never preached a message. He never... And so he packs his bag, tells his wife he got enough money, and he flies to Ireland. He said, as I was driving, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. As he was driving, or as he was riding through the countryside in Ireland, because he's a builder, every barn, every old house he saw, he said, all I could see is I could turn that into a church. I could turn that into a church. I could turn that into a church. In a week's time, he baptized over 50 people in Jesus' name, and they got the Holy Ghost. He couldn't sleep at night because he said, I don't know what this means. And so he said, I got to call my wife. He calls his wife. You know, she's new in church. She don't know nothing. And he says, baby. She said, you don't have to say nothing else. I've already started packing bags. When are we moving to Ireland? She said, honey, God's calling us, and I know he's calling you. He said, yeah. He said, I'm on my way home. He came home, Brother Logan. He sold all his tractors. He sold all his houses. He sold everything he had. He took that money, and he built, I think, 27 churches across Ireland. And he stayed there for 20-something years and built churches, him and his wife. And they built the kingdom of God. God said, I'm going to trade your beauty for ashes. Hey, you may say, this can't happen to me. Why don't you come and give God a trade? Why don't you come and give God a trade? I'm opening this altar this morning. Will you come? I know I've gone a little longer than usual, but I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, will you come? Will you come? Will you stop doing it your way? Will you stop holding on to your stubbornness? God has more for you, but you got to trade him. You got to trade him. You got to trade him this morning. Come on. 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 You're going to be asked to trade on Tuesday. You're going to be asked to trade on Thursday. It's trading time. It's trading time. Oh. About my praise that he loves. Come on. Come on. That's something about my praise ain't about me. My praise ain't about my feelings. My praise ain't about my emotions. My praise